The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
So our episode this week begins with a story. Let's take you to Boston. Ship it off to Boston! Whoa! Right? Well, we're gonna ship off to Boston. I kind of like the Dropkick Murphys, even though they're insufferable at times. And we are going to check out what's going on with illegal immigrants and the rise of illegal immigrants in the city of Boston. So because of the open border policies of Joe Biden, cutting razor wire, letting illegals cross the border, Chinese nationalists, Venezuelans, drug cartels all flooding across the border into Texas, well, Governor Abbott has been putting them on buses and shipping them out. And some of them are heading up to Boston. And so now they've got a huge influx of migrants, you know, because everyone migrates north for the winter, especially when you're in a, you know, climate like Venezuela or Mexico. So they're all showing up in Boston. They're flooding the city. They're trying to figure out, how do we house these people? You know, in New York, they decided to close the schools, send the kids home, turn them into migrant centers. In one locality, they took all the hotel rooms and, you know, they flooded hotels with these people. James O'Keefe was actually undercover witnessing that whole thing from his O'Keefe media group, OMG, formerly of Project Veritas. And this is a report of the center that they set up where they're housing all of these migrants originally. Now, this is the first phase in their quest to be able to house the illegal immigrants before New York gives them prepaid debit cards and, you know, $1,000 a month, where our homeless, you know, the people that fought for the United States and came home and were homeless, some vets, not all of them, of course, but quite a few of them, they're not getting any help. No government assistance. Not that I, you know, advocate for government assistance, but, you know, sometimes when you're down on your luck, you get a little bit of help, a little bit of a boost, and that's what it was originally designed for. It wasn't supposed to be a lifelong career. But this is the report of what was going on with this, with some of the recreational center facilities being turned into migrant centers in Boston.
Had the new temporary shelter, which will be a safe space for hundreds of families over the next few months. The Melnea Cass Rec Center.
A recreational center in Roxbury, now a temporary safety net site with beds, play areas, and other necessities for incoming migrant families that the governor and community leaders toured today.
We're here today because we really don't have a choice.
State and city leaders say they've all been moved by the plight of families, many now camping out at Logan Airport with no place to go, and a state shelter system stretched to the limit.
When children are asking, Mommy, where are we going tonight? Where are we going to sleep? It's a human crisis.
Shame on Healy!
Shame on Woo!
But the plan has received mixed reviews in the community, since the recreation center is also a vital resource for youth and adult programs.
We sympathize with them. We as a people in our community, we love. But sometimes we love so much that we spite our own selves.
Alternating toe touches.
Tony DeRocca, with Boston United Track and Cross Country, coaches young athletes in a free weekly program here, and now doesn't know where they'll go with a meet set for Sunday.
We have kids who also are impacted negatively, and our program is one that very few stable times of their life.
I've been going here for like 2 years now, and like it's been like a second home to me.
But the decision to make it a temporary home until May 31st for migrant families is called humanitarian, but also difficult by some. And Boston Mayor Michelle Wu acknowledged that today.
This is not the first time that this community has been asked to sacrifice over and over again. And so we'll continue to work with the state and ensure that all options are on the table.
Now, the governor says she hopes the community will be helped, not burdened by the plan, saying local vendors will be used to provide food and other necessities here, and funding will be provided for long-awaited upgrades to the Melnea Cass Recreational Center once the temporary shelter is closed.
You gotta love the people that are supporting this. They're always, like, giving you these gushy little tales. Oh, they see Mommy, where are we going to sleep tonight? And, you know, they always give you these heartfelt heartstring pulling stories about migrants and they're just good people and they just need help. Why are they here? Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to the theories as to why they decided to trek into the cold of a Boston city in the middle of January and February because they wanted to migrate. We'll get into why that is a reason, and it'll make you sick to your stomach, or it'll make you laugh. I don't know. It depends on your perspective. So this is a growing problem in Boston. One of the councilmen, well, councilwoman, she had a suggestion of the citizens and how they could be a part of the solution.
At Wellesley, Brookline, you know, cities and towns that have so much more resources than the city of Boston.
Boston City Councilwoman Julia Mejia thinks more migrants can be placed outside of Boston.
I think everybody needs to start opening up their doors because this is a shared responsibility.
Controversy over the placement of surging immigrants comes as a new report links immigrants who settle in Massachusetts to economic benefits for the region.
Oh, it's up to the citizens to do their part, huh? That is the most ridiculous idea. But never let the Bostonians, you know, never let them fail on being ridiculous. Because there's a new trend that has begun, and it's called host homes. It is the upper echelon level of virtue signaling. This is when COVID masks became Ukrainian flags, they've now become host homes. This is like, I'm going to be the better than Christian person because I'm going to do something and I'm going to let them stay in my house. And listen to this couple on Good Morning America. This is an actual thing.
Colin and Jessica Stokes called the state to sign up to be a host family. It took less than an hour for the displaced migrants to be dropped off at their door.
I got to get sheets on the bed. How many people are coming? Right. Where are they from? What ages? We really knew nothing.
The need is so clearly overwhelming.
The family of four who didn't want to go on camera had been sleeping at Logan Airport. The parents and two kids journeyed from Chile to Texas, then Massachusetts. And there are so many stories like it.
Boggles the mind that there are so many hundreds of those stories.
Colin and Jessica Stokes called the state to sign up to be a host family.
Oh my gosh, gotta get the good towels out. Gotta put down the good plates and the good silverware because we've got migrants coming over tonight. Make sure to get out the good bottle of red, too. It's just, look at me, I'm a good person. I'm gonna take the migrants in. It gets even worse. When this one lady, they interview this one lady, she's taken in, I think she's a Haitian lady. I can't remember off the top of my head. We'll see in the video clip here in a second. But takes her in and just listen to the descriptions of what she's saying about the situation. This is the Biden voter. This is the, remember when I did a podcast, two podcasts ago, where I went through the lady who wants to have an open marriage and she talks about how she's going to dye her hair lavender and she quit the church. Now she gets her Sundays back. And I was like, this is the suburban white leftist voter who was the reason why Biden had any shot of being able to have a margin close enough to steal. And this lady right here is the embodiment of that voter. Listen to this.
It's more difficult at the time.
She felt bad, as any mother would. Now things are looking much brighter as they've been welcomed into Lisa Hillenbrand's Brookline apartment.
Tu niña es muy alegre ahora.
Sí, muy alegre. Cuando se levanta en la mañana, se dice, ay, Lisa.
She says her daughter is very happy. When she wakes up in the morning, she says, hi, Lisa, and everyone starts the day smiling.
It's a delight, and it's really fun having them. What I realized is there's so much prejudice against refugees, mostly because people don't know them.
Lisa says she feels like she has her own personal chef, as Wildande loves cooking.
¿Te gusta la ocupación?
Sí. Sí.
In fact, her goal is to open up her own restaurant.
Quiero tener mi propio restaurante.
The couple has their work permits and they've been taking English classes.
Yo cualquier trabajo va a hacer para guardar mi dinero para hacer mi futuro.
They're open to work anywhere to save money for their future. In the meantime, they're enjoying their time with Lisa, their new friend for life. and their daughter's new grandmother.
They
are hardworking. They want to learn. They want to be successful. And I feel great helping, and I get to understand the refugee crisis from the inside.
Lisa says she's so impressed by the number of people she's met right here at Brookline Town Hall meetings who've been stepping up and hosting families. She's hopeful more will do the same in the coming days and weeks. In Brookline, Erin Logan, NBC 10 Boston.
All right, the need for more migrant shelters in Massachusetts is something we've been following really closely. You can find more information about this and find out how you can actually help on our website, NBC10Boston.com.
Oh my God, you got your own personal chef! Maybe they could go out and pick the vegetables too. How about they pick the vegetables and then they saute them up for you? Maybe they'll clean your house. You got your own maid, your own slave. This is unbelievable. She's my personal chef. And I get to understand the plight of the migrants and the refugees. Here's the thing. The Haitian lady gets a little bit of a side deal too, because now she has a personal advocate. It's become so personal. This person is in her home. She's making friends with them. They're living together. So now when ICE comes to deport her, then you've got a screaming leftist suburban white Franzia box wine woman who will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that you stay here illegally. Maybe she'll try to get you a job. So you've got your own personal advocate. It works out. She gets her own little slave to do all of her menial tasks around. And then the Haitian lady gets her own advocate to make sure, because that's the goal. Let's have tons of host homes. Then none of these people will ever get to go back. Works out great. And it's almost just a microcosm of what Chamber of Commerce has done for years. Just let the cheap labor come across, all the people that could work. We're just going to push them out of the workforce. Maybe they'll go be roofers, and then they'll get pushed out by the other illegals that are coming in that aren't being set up in host homes. So what does the black community in Boston think about their services being disrupted by immigrants? They're not taking them in as host homes, I can tell you that. Listen to this lady. She's got some grievances.
I saw your outrage. Yes. Why are you outraged?
Because this place was, like you said, it's free. It was a place for our children. Our children, I have four children, and it's sad. You know, I have four boys, you know, and we really don't have nothing in the community that's free for us. Don't get me wrong. It's great that they want to help the immigrants. But what about the Americans that are already here? What about the people that are already here that don't have homes, that don't have jobs, that are sleeping on the street already? These people came from the airport here, probably on boats, probably on buses, and probably all for free. Now they're getting stipends. They're getting what else? I need money for me and my kids, and I was born here. Like, you know, I know life is a struggle in itself, but this is not the answer to help them. Now it's going to destroy our community more and mess our children up more. Like, this is sad. I know a lot of people don't even know about this. I came here last night with my aunt, saw a lot of stadies, a lot of police, and this paper wasn't there yet. They just did this probably 2-3 in the morning when they brung them here. When everybody's asleep, that's when they brung them here, probably. On buses, I saw New York plates. I saw Washington, D.C. plates. So they have that much money to come from Washington, D.C. to do this, to do that. Why are they not helping the people here first?
Yes, ma'am. Let's talk.
We need help.
And she's 100% right. You know, these are things that citizens, we pay taxes. We should enjoy these amenities, not illegals. We shouldn't be shoved aside for them. Now listen to this homeless black guy. Not only can he not afford to live in the area which he works, he doesn't even get to go into the rec center that was a place of refuge for him while he's been homeless. And he's had enough. I think the Overton window is moving the opposite direction now, especially in Boston. This guy reads the riot act. Listen to this.
And I've been here my whole because I can't yell. Because I can yell. And I'm fucking angry. That's why.
I hear you. I do hear you.
So why can't I get in the fucking building?
You can't get in right now. No one can go in.
Why? Where's the mayor at? Y'all, this fucking town's a fucking sham, yo. It's all about fucking money. It's a fucking money grab. Y'all get about the motherfuckers that was born and fucking raised here. Y'all raised the fucking rent so fucking high. Can't afford to live here. But y'all gonna bring some other motherfuckers here? That doesn't fucking add up. It doesn't make no fucking sense. None. None. I'm fucking homeless. I work a full-time job. 40 hours. And can't pay to live here. How the fuck are y'all gonna bring somebody else here? Don't make no fucking sense. None.
Right. Not a happy camper right there. He's a little pissed off. And rightfully so. I mean, those finite resources that have to be distributed amongst the community that the taxpayers purchased are now all going to illegals. And then he gets nothing. You would think with diversity, equity, inclusion that they want to inject into everything, they wouldn't have done this to the black community. But here we are, because guess what? They don't really care. And that the diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory, it's just a way to re-inject racism back into society. It's like the Civil War ended, we went through Reconstruction, and then right in the turn of the century, they found a way to bring in segregation with water fountains and bathrooms and what have you. Then we make strides against it, and then they have to go right back to it with DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. You know, we're gonna white farmer, we're gonna South African farmer the white people into being marginalized second-class citizens while we elevate everyone else. But really, we're only doing that because we want to divide everybody, because the real elevation is the global order. And that's where we're going with all this. This is what the reason is for the illegal immigration. You know, this is why they're getting prepaid cards, they're getting accommodations, and now they can live in your host home and you can advocate for them on every level possible as a non-citizen, while the advocate is the, you know, loud vocal voice in the room who has U.S. citizenship. That's what this is. And so what is the reason that the left justifies the migrants, the illegal immigrants coming across the border, moving north for the winter? Listen to what their premise is.
Yes, I agree with you, Joe. That's absolutely something that we need to do. What House Democrats want to also make sure that we focus on are these root causes of migration. You know, people are fleeing difficult and dangerous conditions. They're fleeing economic issues. They're fleeing because of climate change, and they aren't able to farm the land that they used to farm with hurricanes.
Right, Congressman, I totally get this, but we've been saying this for 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. There is a massive crisis at the southern border right now. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's only getting worse.
And there it is, climate change. They have the ability to pin everything on climate change. It's amazing. You're going to hear a clip in a second how climate change is also racist, which blows my mind. But this is the thing. Everything gets added to climate change. So what's the premise? The premise that we're told to believe is that the illegal immigrants, the illegal aliens that are coming over, that are migrating here north for the winter, which that makes total sense, is because they're refugees. They have to flee. We have to accept them because they're refugees. Well, to be a refugee, you have to have some violent threat that you're escaping. Just because you can't farm because there's a drought does not mean you need to be a refugee. Just because it's hot does not mean you need to go and scramble north for the winter to live in Chicago only to bitch about how cold it is and only to complain about how snowy it is and then to see the violence in Chicago and Detroit and want to go back to Venezuela, because that we had that on a previous podcast. So the premise is complete BS. Climate change is attributed to everything. In fact, Greg Abbott knows. Listen to Greg Abbott talk about it.
The only climate that's changed, Sean, is the refusal to enforce the immigration laws of the United States. You saw what happened 4 years ago when we had the lowest illegal immigration in 40 years. And that's because President Trump put into place 4 policies. The Remain in Mexico policy, the Title 42 policy, the end of catch and release, and building the border wall. When Biden came in, he changed all of that. And he created a climate, quite literally, that attracted people from across the entire world from more than 150 countries. Texas is the only government in the United States of America that's stepping up, trying to stop illegal immigration by building our own border wall, by putting up the razor wire. And by the way, Joe Biden is also challenging me in the United States Supreme Court right now, Sean, trying to tear down the razor wire that Texas put up to stop illegal immigration. Joe Biden has spent no time trying to stop illegal immigration. He's only spent time trying to stop Texas from stopping illegal immigration.
So the people on the right have the eye on the ball. They know what the real deal is. They know it's an invasion. They know that this is all being propped up for reasons such as flooding the border, restructuring states, because, you know, then you can restructure how many representatives you have. You can restructure the political makeup of a state like Texas and flip it blue. And so what did we do? You know, Greg Abbott sent them up to New York, sent them up to Chicago. And now they're trying to figure out how to deal with these places because they put these stupid sanctuary city policies in play. And now they're putting them in refugee centers that they made out of black neighborhood rec centers, taking it from homeless people and taking it from, you know, minorities who really enjoy those amenities. And then now they're putting them in host homes. And listen what they can attribute to climate change. Here is Rachel Levine, the shemale health and human services czar. Listen to this bizarre way of threading a needle. They can thread any needle. You can stub your toe and it could have been because of climate change. You can have rheumatism because of climate change. You know, they said asthma. You were getting asthma because the atmosphere was thick with pollution from climate change, and that's causing you not to be able to breathe. All this insanity, all centered on climate change. Realize the United Nations and the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, they said after coronavirus, the next great narrative, the next play would be climate change, and we're seeing it now. Listen to Dick Levine talk about, or Dickless Levine, talk about climate change and racism.
This Black History Month, I'm pleased to partner with OMH in advancing better health through better understanding for Black communities. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change. Visit hhs.gov for more information and tune in next Thursday to hear from another HHS leader on how you can contribute to advancing better health for Black communities.
So just about anything can be climate change, and it can somehow, you know, it can get a little bit more smoggier in the urban areas. It can get a little more smoggier in the ghettos, and it can get a little more smoggier, you know, and they don't have a way, you know, they're in food deserts and all this BS that they come up with. They're in Walgreens deserts because, you know, they've looted the Walgreens so much that the Walgreens just decided to pack up and leave. And now the citizens are complaining about it. They're trying to say, you know, some of the minorities in this area, they don't have access to Walgreens anymore. Well, you know what? Maybe policing should be heavier. Maybe we should have propped up family values and just not let everybody just hook up with whatever and abandon their kids just to grow up. And I'm not saying this about specific minority groups. I'm just saying in general, some of these other areas are crying out for the resources that they're supposed to have and for the opportunities that they're supposed to have that are literally being destroyed by the policies that they voted for. And so the policies they vote for, the values that they've accepted, have then turned us all upside down. And it's happening on all communities, Caucasian, Black, all communities are having to deal with this. Because now we have a situation within the white suburban liberal voter and their mega church, how they're infected with this ideology. It's the same thing as the He Gets Us campaign. Now, if you're not familiar with this, the He Gets Us campaign was it's a campaign to try to show that Jesus is like us. Instead of us trying to aspire to be like Jesus in his example, to which he gives us grace that if we ask for his forgiveness, then he will provide it to us. And even though we were sinners and we should not have any sort of communion with God through prayer, through worship, through even standing in his presence, he gives it to us if we, you know, ask him for forgiveness of our sins. But we're not supposed to put that message out. We're supposed to show Jesus washing feet. And I don't want to get into the weeds of this because it's been talked about on every conservative outlet. And I try to do a little bit of a different show to bring up some different things. Sometimes I bring up the same stuff as they do. There's no way around it because I do my own research and my own content creating, and I don't piggyback off of others. But sometimes we both hit the same targets, and you know, it's hard to foresee that because as I'm recording it, which I don't have the ability to just record it and put it out instantaneously as they do, they're already touching on certain subjects. So, but the He Gets Us campaign is emblematic of where I'm going with the next article that I'm going to read and the next contagion that has been taken on by the World Economic Forum, the UN, diversity, equity, inclusion, the wokeness. He Gets Us is the doorway into showing you the bigger picture, what's going on with the church, Catholic churches, mega churches, you know, Joel Osteen style churches, Rick Warren, you know, all these different churches that are trying to push this self-help message of Christ or message of the Bible, cherry picking verses and trying to say, you're going to be successful and, you know, you're going to achieve your dreams. And, you know, even though really when you become a Christian, you're going to be the biggest target of satanic leftism, or, you know, Satanism in general. You know, the devil's going to come after you big time. And those on the left who are atheists, they're going to despise you. They're going to call you Christian nationalism or Christian nationalist. We may need to touch on that maybe on another podcast. I'm thinking about putting something together because I want to show you that that is really just a way to rebrand Christianity into white supremacy, domestic terrorism so that they can attack it and bring it down because ultimately that's their goal. But anyways, back to this He Gets Us campaign. So they've had these commercials out for at least over a year. They had them in the last Super Bowl. They try to make Jesus is like, yeah, he's a folksy guy. And yeah, you may have messed up in life, but you know, he gets you. He understands. And so they had this ad where they had different people washing other people's feet. Kind of reminded me of when the CEO of Chick-fil-A went over and washed, was it Lecrae, the rapper, the Christian rapper's feet? Because he was black and he was trying to, you know, I don't even know. It was weird. And I'm like, it's Chick-fil-A. I don't understand what's going on with Jesus chicken and the CEO washing feet. But I was against it then because it's really, if you think about what Jesus did when he was washing feet, yes, it was to serve others, but it was to serve his disciples, the people he was putting into places of ministerial power. I don't mean power as in like they're going to make you. I'm just saying these people were close to him and he was entrusting them through his example and through his selection of them to use them to further his message after he died and rose again. Same thing with, there was Judas, but Judas was brought in for a different reason. And his intentions in the beginning were actually good. But, you know, he went off the rails and that was part of the fulfillment of prophecy. But he didn't go out and, you know, wash the prostitute's feet, the woman at the well. He told her, you know, go and sin no more. You didn't see that in the ad, but you did see, a white woman washing a climate, I think it was an oil rigger that was washing a climate protester's feet and, you know, all these. It was always somebody on the right washing somebody on the left's feet. It was never the other way around. You didn't see somebody washing a MAGA truck driving person's feet. You know, it's always going in one direction. Well, a little digging on these guys and you learn they're woke too. And the woke contagion has taken its hold. This is actually from Lore, at Watch Lore. The He Gets Us media strategist, who has a fierce passion for all things DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and who, according to her X account, appears to be anti-Israel, is now protecting her tweets from public view. Hundreds of millions of dollars in Christians' money, including the Green Family, which is Hobby Lobby, Museum of the Bible, went to these people. And the He Gets Us campaign. And then come to find out that a lot of these He Gets Us campaign individuals have personal pronouns in their bio. Yeah, this is one of the individuals from this organization who posted, Israel made obscenely offensive propaganda videos that ran on Hulu, which is owned by Disney. It features AI clips of Gaza and blames Hamas for genocidal war. Would Hulu air such an ad by Russia? This doesn't violate these policies. Maddie McClinigan is one of the individuals, and she actually reposted this ad, supposedly funded by the State of Israel, showed up on Hulu, and it feels so, so wrong. Has anyone else seen it? It is really from the State of Israel. Gaza could never have been the wonderful place the ad depicts, with all the hate from both states. And she protected her tweets. Yeah, she's got different pronouns. She is the media strategy supervisor at Lerma, working on the He Gets Us account, fierce passion for all things DEI. And you see this homosexual get his foot washed by a pastor right out at the beach. That's pretty good, huh? And so you go, how did that come about? How do you have woke diversity, equity, inclusion in the church? It goes against Christianity, because diversity, equity, inclusion is we're going to be diverse. Okay. Well, that naturally happens in the religious community, because people come to Christ. They want to be part of the kingdom of heaven. They want to be a part of the community that seeks the kingdom of Jesus. And that could be black, that could be white, you know, red and yellow, black and white, we're precious in His sight, right? But the equity part is where they push to exclude certain people because of past sins and to elevate others because of past transgressions. And that goes against forgiveness. That goes against the ability to seek forgiveness and seek to have your sins wiped away, because those sins are never wiped away. They're just turned into reparations that are pushed by making things more equitable. So you wonder, how did this happen? How did it get into the church? And then you read this article from the Epoch Times. Religious leaders joined the UN and the World Economic Forum to push the global climate agenda. Huh, amazing. Deep in a Cambodian old-growth forest, Buddhist ecology monks wrap trees in saffron clerical robes before obtaining the trees or ordaining the trees into the Jewish faith. The practice is an example of forest activism that spread to Cambodia after Thai monks in the 1990s began ordaining trees as they would a new monk. Ordained trees become sacred and protected from illegal logging because the harming an ordained monk is taboo in the Buddhist religion. The recognition that religion can be a powerful tool when applied to selling the global warming narrative has been gaining traction at the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, where faith has traditionally been kept at arm's length. It's amazing how they go with this. The globalist agendas are now welcoming help from religious leaders fighting climate change, one of the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals for 2030. That's the Agenda 2030 coming up real soon. But some religious leaders are alarmed by their colleagues' involvement in the climate debate. Quote, "I think this is a dangerous agenda, and it keeps the church from doing what its primarily calling is, and that is to win people to the faith of Christ," Robert Jeffress, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, told the Epoch Times. Quote, "We ought to be much more concerned about what God thinks," right? I mean, it's kind of the point. The UN predicts doom if urgent action isn't taken to save the earth from the calamity of rising oceans and extreme weather caused by global warming, although scientific evidence remains controversial. Let me take a side note here, because right there is antithetical to Christianity. Jesus created the earth. It was a perfect creation. We had communion with God, who was walking with us through the cool of the morning. It wasn't until we defied God and His command to not eat from the tree of fruit of, knowledge of good and evil. We brought sin into the world. And bringing sin into the world, you brought death into the world. You brought disease. You brought deformities. You brought crazy acts of God, which aren't acts of God. They're acts of sin that, you know, are beyond our control. Volcanoes, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes. So to think that we can have such power that we can change the weather, that if we just spend enough tax money and just do enough policy initiatives and take away certain aspects of growth, you know, deny us growth, you know, a push for depopulation and this degrowth movement, a degrowth communism, to take away our dominion over animals, as they do with the, you know, the animal activist and PETA and what have you. For them to think that we can just drive less cars and eat less meat, that we are going to somehow make these storms that were brought about from our disobeying of God to bring them in and rein them in and make it a utopia. That's putting yourself in a place of God. And that is antithetical to this entire thing. So the fact that they've made inroads with the church is incredible, but that's where they got to propagandize everybody. They got to sell everybody on this crap. Back to the article, the UN's 2030 climate goal calls for deep, rapid, sustained reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 42%, and the UN is aiming for net zero emissions by 2050. It predicts that the global temperatures will rise by more than 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2035, crucifying fossil fuel. In anticipation of the UN Paris Climate Conference in 2015, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, and Christian groups issued climate change declarations marking a turning point in faith leader support for the climate agenda. The UN heralded the news of Pope Francis' papal's letter on climate change that year to all Roman Catholic bishops, titled Laudato Si. And, you know, he's also made a pivot on gay marriage, too. So there you go with that. False prophet much? And see, it's not about rejecting a clean planet. Conservationists, that's what we are. We leave the place better than we got there. That is, in Boy Scouts, that was always the way that you operated. You came to a place, you set up, you had a campfire, you packed up, you cleaned up the trash around you. It's why at rallies for conservative groups, they leave it clean. Not the environmentalists that are at the Lakota, you know, the pipelines out there in the Midwest. They leave trash everywhere. The illegal immigrants coming across the border leave trash everywhere. Back to the article. They pressured financial institutions to invest in so-called renewable energy for, quote, children and future generations of life on Earth. Michael O'Fallon, the founder of Sovereign Nations, a media website dedicated to the preservation of national sovereignty, he spoke with the Epoch Times about what he said was a sinister development. The climate change agenda is part of the UN and the World Economic Forum's quest to govern the world's resources and the world's, you know, population. And it's incredible. The church is allowing that? It's also allowing them to govern the world's energy and wealth. Quote, this is going to be all-encompassing. It's going to change everything unless we completely stop it. I mean, it's already kind of moving in that direction. And so we have to realize that this contagion is infecting everything. It even affects the church. And who thought that that would be possible? But here we are. Back to the article. In evidence of the New World Order, he pointed out to the Terra Carta, a document on people's and planet's rights modeled after the 808-year-old Magna Carta. In 2021, Terra Carta is part of the sustainable marketing plan started by British King Charles, who's head of the Church of England. Even otherwise traditionally conservative Christian groups, such as the National Association for Evangelicals, have joined the environmental movement. Christians believe in following in Jesus' footsteps by helping the poor and the vulnerable, who globalists contend will suffer the most from climate change. Quote, we wish to navigate the complexities of our times, including issues like climate change, with biblical clarity and with a deep love that reflects God's own heart for this world, especially for those least able to enjoy his blessings, NAE President Walter Kim said in a 2022 statement. So he's going to get out there and wash all these people's feet. But Mr. Jeffers said that he isn't buying what the UN is selling. Quote, look, let's be clear. Jesus Christ is the one who sets up the agenda for the church, not the United Nations, he said. And for churches to adopt the UN's purpose, statement, and causes is really the church prostituting itself, allowing itself to be used by outside organizations. The concept of nations is biblical, meaning a global government isn't part of God's plan, although it is a part of Revelations. In his book that was released in December of 2023, Are We Living in the End Times? He wrote that people need to be politically and spiritually aware of what's happening. The Southern Baptist pastor is known as a spiritual advisor to former President Donald Trump. Love how they throw that in there. And for churches to adopt the United Nations purpose on statement and causes, it's really the church prostituting itself. The so-called climate urgency has galvanized environmental activists from green faith and interfaith power and light to stage protests and disruptions. The so-called climate urgency has galvanized all these activist groups. Green faith organized a demonstration last year at BlackRock's New York location. BlackRock, aren't they the hedge fund that's pushing for ESG and funding social credit scores based off of good climate activity on people's accounts? Yeah, the mafia hit that they're doing, denying certain industries of capital with other people's money that they invest. So they did this at BlackRock's New York location that resulted in the arrest after protesters warned the colossal investment firm to, quote, stop destroying the earth by investing in fossil fuels. Part of the global appeal to stop so-called climate change is the idea that the world's poor will suffer from the most widespread drought and flooding. Yet critics say the globalist cure is far worse than a climate change scenario that some scientists dispute. And they say they aren't surprised that the UN is incorporating religion into its pressure campaigns. That's why they've been able to infiltrate the church. The hysteria that's surrounding the topic is totally unjustified. The cure for getting rid of fossil fuels ASAP and replacing them with renewables probably will be worse than the disease. This is a founding member of Clintel, Marcel Kurok, and she told this to Epoch Times in an interview. The UN's plan to harness the power of religion can be seen in its cunning Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework Plan, which is part of the 2022 Pact among countries to save natural resources and endangered species throughout the globe. According to the UN, the sizable reach and influence of religious and spiritual groups make them an important and natural constituency to achieve its ambitious goals. A similar 2022 Framework Convention on Climate Change meeting called for rich countries, such as the United States, to pay poorer countries reparations for loss and damage caused by climate change. How do you quantify that? Likewise, the World Economic Forum released a report in 2016 titled The Role of Faith in Systemic Global Challenges, which includes a section that declares that climate change can't be solved without religion. Klaus Schwab, a World Economic Forum founder and executive chairman, told the Global Agenda Council that values can't be justified solely through intellectual reason, which is why faith must be involved, according to the report. It's incredible. So they aren't surprised that the international organizations are using religion because of these reasons. Quote, I think environmentalists use any method they can to push their agenda because their agenda results in more expensive electricity prices and more expensive transportation prices. And this is where we get into what's going on with the Biden administration. I want you to listen to this ad. Now, this ad is from Burisma, Hunter Biden's firm. Listen to what they're peddling.
Burisma Geothermal is a new business which aims to strengthen the role of renewable energy worldwide, implementing the newest technologies in alternative energy development. Our successful geothermal projects in Italy, in Europe's strongest economy, Germany, will provide new safe energy for the future.
Renewable energies! Check that out. So they're in Ukraine peddling renewable energies because who profits? Joe Biden's family, all the other organizations. They're going to use church, they're going to use culture to push for massive changes in how we live through renewable energies and, you know, electric vehicles that shut down in the cold and are too heavy for parking garages and what have you, and they run out of battery life. We covered all that, and we're going to flood the zone and the border with all of these illegal immigrants who are going to cause all this crime and all this insanity. We're going to take them in our homes, and Justin Trudeau is going to bring a bunch of Gazans who are basically Hamas terrorists into Canada so then they can come across the northern border and we can just have ourselves a nice little crap storm so that they can take down the Western democracy, and all the people at the top will stay at the top and make all the money because their kid is working in these companies for the scam and their families are making off while your family is getting screwed in the process. That's the goal of this entire mess, and that's what we're seeing. And that's why it needs to be brought to the light of day. And that's why I'm bringing it up on the podcast today. I'm Adrian Slade. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.